All right. Thank you for coming back tonight. It's always a blessing, always a relief. Amen.
Yes.
But it is good to be with you, and I've enjoyed getting to know some of you, enjoyed the fellowship. Thank you so much for all the food. I'm not sure how many more pounds I'll take back with me, but that's all right. We'll work on that when we get back.
Amen.
But I do want to say thank you for that, and I do want to say thank you as well for your support of our missionaries.
Amen.
See the Hammetts there and the Williams as well. And when we work together, it's churches like yours that help us to be able to fulfill God's
Amen.
Calling and God's directive, His great commission for us. And so we can't do that without churches like yours partnering with us, fellowshipping with us. And so we thank you for that. I thank you for that personally and for your faithfulness in giving, because that makes that possible. You know how when you're young, you just have some memories that are, it's just kind of an image in your mind. I do want to tell you about one image I have in my mind of your pastor. I probably was not more than 5, 6, 7 years old, and I can still see him in my mind dressed up as a crazy jungle explorer in Vacation Bible School. And if we would bring visitors to Vacation Bible School, this crazy jungle guy would agree to stand on his head and what was it, brother? What? Drink a cup of water with a goldfish in it. Now, that's all I remember. I remember nothing else. That is what I remember. But I was thinking today, and I don't know, maybe you're thinking this as well. I mean, how much, brother, do you want to see this church grow? There might be some people who would come to see that. I don't know. You guys work that out. You know, you could request that. Anyway, we do appreciate the casters. And like I said last night, there's many, many memories. They are very special to us. Their family, children, so integrated in my life as well. First time I took a missions trip was with our youth group as probably a 16-year-old young man to visit them in Chile and be part of the ministry there, and that was such a blessing, and many other memories that maybe we can share some of those throughout the week. But we should probably get to the Word of God, because that's why you're here, and that's what's important.
Amen.
We opened this tiny little book of Philemon, one that, if you're following a reading schedule, it probably doesn't even take much more than a day in your reading. Just read through just 25 verses. What is here in this tiny little book? Well, we introduced our study and how we can see the gospel in real life through this little book of Philemon. Tonight, we're just going to take the first 7 verses, really focusing in on verses 4 through 7, and we'll talk about a transformed life. Let's read the text there. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at this New Testament family last night, Philemon, his wife, his son, faithfully serving the Lord in this church in Colossae. Look there in verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of thee also in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother.
Amen.
Dear Lord, would you help us tonight? Lord, I know that there are no words of wisdom that come from me.
Amen.
There's nothing really of any value that I have to say. the value tonight is in your word, and we would not be here tonight. It would be a waste of time tonight to be here without your word. And
Amen.
So I pray tonight that you would open it up for us. And Lord, we know that we've read these verses. We just read them a few moments ago. Many of these dear believers have read them many times before. But I pray in a special way tonight that you would open them up for us in a way that will impact our minds, our thoughts, and eventually impact our lives.
Amen.
And Lord, this is a work that only you can do. And so we humbly ask that you would meet with us tonight and do a work in our hearts. And we ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So last night we began introducing this little book and seeing the tremendous impact of the gospel made in real life. And not just at the point of salvation, although that is key, and we understand that this man, Philemon, had experienced a transformed life. He had come to the place of salvation, and I hope if you're here tonight that you can look back on your own experience, you can look back on your life, and you can see the transformation that took place when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you received salvation. The impact of the gospel we see tremendously in this man's life. But this impact is about ready, and we're not going to get to it tonight as far as the details. We'll probably get into it tomorrow night. But the impact is about to take on a completely new and different dimension. Paul is going to request something of Philemon that is completely countercultural. It's quite a request. It's a bold request. It could even be described as a shocking request that not only would Paul ask Philemon to do this, but that he would actually do it. This is countercultural. And the only way that this response can be explained is by a work of God. And so Paul's looking back, and he's looking at the work of God that has already taken place in Philemon's life. And without that work that has already taken place and is currently taking place, there's no way for growth into what's about ready to take place. The request that's going to be made of him. That's going to be based on what God has already done in his life. And of course, most of you know that the request involves Philemon receiving back a thieving criminal servant and receiving him as a brother, not just a servant. And the only reason that Paul can make that request is because he knew and he saw that Philemon, his life was transformed by the gospel and was being transformed. This wasn't just something that happened in the past. No, this was a work of God. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, then God desires to do a work in your life. Yeah, He desired to bring you from darkness to light, but now He desires for you to grow. Now He desires for you to continue on for Him. Now He desires for you to conquer new areas in your life. He desires for you to walk with Him. He desires to continually transform your heart and your life. And you can read all about that in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. God desires to transform you by the renewing of your mind so that you would prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Tonight I'd like to take a deeper look at the impact of the gospel in Philemon's life, both in the past and also into the future. Remember, tonight we pointed this out last night. Philemon is not a preacher. He's not someone, you know, that we would look at and say, wow, he's someone special. He's just an ordinary church member, just like some of you. An ordinary church member who was impacted, and he was continuing to be impacted by the gospel and his relationship to God. You notice in verse 4 that Paul jumps right in. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. I want you to notice tonight the thanksgiving because of Philemon. Because of the change that God had wrought in Philemon's life, Paul in his prayers, in verse number 4, he says, I thank my God. Now, Paul had already had a personal relationship with God. That's why he uses that term, my God. I thank my God. Paul already had that relationship with God. But Paul's relationship with God was deepened and enriched by the way that Philemon chose to live his life. Isn't that a remarkable thought? That you and I have the ability to enrich and enhance and deepen someone else's relationship with God based on how we live?
Amen.
That's an exciting possibility. And I believe that's something that God wants to do in each and every one of you, to impact someone else. And so there's thanksgiving because of Philemon. Paul is offering praise and honor to God because of Philemon, and really as a result of who Philemon was and how God was working in his life. And you know, you and I can bring glory to God in that same sort of way. We notice this thanksgiving, and before we dig into some things we see about Philemon, notice Paul's relationship with God and his prayers. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You know, Paul prayed faithfully. He prayed faithfully. He mentions that term there, I'm making mention of you always in my prayers. You know, prayer is something, it's communication with God coming out of our hearts. But prayer is also spoken of in Ephesians 6 as part of the Christian warfare. Listed with the armor of God, praying always.
Amen.
With all prayer and supplication. And even Paul mentions praying for him. Prayer is something that we need to do, but we need to do faithfully. And we see that in Paul's life. He prayed faithfully. The idea of making mention, those two words are translated from one word. It just means remembering. And what was Paul remembering? What was on his prayer list, so to speak? What was on his mind and on his heart? People. People were on the heart of Paul. And when he would go to prayer, he remembered people. Not necessarily things or just requests, but he remembered people. And he remembered them always. Every time that God brought Philemon to mind, he would always thank God.
Amen.
Because of Philemon's faithfulness. It brought Paul great thankfulness. I think about the fact that, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he traveled all over the world. How many friends, how many acquaintances did Paul have? Quite a lot. But yet he remembered some of these individuals. He chose to pray for these individuals. He prayed faithfully. He also prayed thankfully. Paul's prayers involved giving thanks for people. Giving thanks for people. And you know, a component of our prayer life ought to be giving thanks for people. In 2 Thessalonians, there we go, I missed that point there. There we go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. And the idea of as it is meet means as it's appropriate, as it's right, as it's proper and fitting. Paul's prayers involved giving thanks for people. You understand that people are part of God's gift and God's provision for you. Do you understand tonight that the people that are in your life, God placed them in your life, both for you to minister to them and for them to minister to you?
Amen.
Now, I know in your mind, you probably have an image of what ministering to you, what that really looks like. But sometimes the greatest ministry that people can do are the people that really rub us the wrong way, that really annoy us, that knock the rough edges off of our lives. people are part of God's gift and God's provision for us, even, or maybe we should say, especially those people that we don't like. They're part of God's provision. Amen. Do we believe Romans 8:28 or not?
Right.
That all things, every component of our lives, work together for our good? Even those people that seem to have it out for you. Even those people who always rub you the wrong, grate on you in the wrong way. God has a purpose for them. You can thank God for every individual in your life.
Amen.
So we see something about Paul's prayers. We also see something about Philemon's reputation in verse number 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Think about Philemon's reputation. Paul heard in verse number 5, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. We looked at that map yesterday, and the distance that was separating from where Paul was under house arrest in Rome and where Philemon was with the church that was in his house in the city of Colossae, they were a world away from each other. But yet somehow, some way, because of how Philemon conducted himself, his reputation reached the ears of Paul. I'm thanking God for you because I have heard of your love and your faith. Paul had heard about Philemon's reputation of love, and we looked at this a little bit last night. The idea of love is affection, it's goodwill, benevolence. And you'll notice how the verse is constructed in verse number 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, so both of those two things, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So take that first word, love. And what Paul's saying is, I've heard about your love towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. Paul heard about Philemon's love for God, love for the Lord Jesus. And really, that's where it all begins.
Amen.
That's what the Christian life is all about, loving the Lord Jesus. And that's where everything starts, because it's then impossible to love all of the saints without being motivated and energized by the love that we have for Jesus. And that's the only way. And you'll notice that Paul says that he heard of Philemon's love toward how many of the saints? All saints. Oh, there's some saints that when we're around them, we love to be around them. They bring us so much joy. They bring laughter and love and into our lives, and we just can't help but love them. But have you noticed that not all saints do that in your life? There's those other saints. There's those other saints that perhaps they're the perpetual Eeyores in your life. Always seeing the silver cloud with the dark lining instead of the other way around. They're always down. They're always discouraged. They're always pulling you down. Do you know you can still love them? You can still love the saints that mistreat you, that don't do the things that you would like them to do, that don't love you in the way that they ought to love you. You can still love all the saints.
Amen.
You say, how is that possible? I don't understand. The effect that they have on me. Well, I can imagine. There are people in my life that probably do the exact same thing in their own unique way. But it starts with loving the Lord Jesus, and he's
right.
The one that does the work in our hearts to love all the saints.
Amen.
So Paul heard about Philemon's love, but Paul also heard about Philemon's faith. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. So it's the same thing. Faith starts with faith toward the Lord Jesus and also then toward all saints. The idea of faith is not just belief in God, but it has the idea of fidelity and faithfulness. They're to be commended tonight for being faithful to God's house.
Amen.
Faithful to the Lord. And when Paul heard about Philemon. He heard that Philemon was being faithful. He was continuing on. He was doing the same things that Paul remembered Philemon doing when they were together. We talked about that last night, how they co-labored together. They worked together in the cause of the ministry. And you know what? Many years later, separated by great distance, with Paul not being there, Philemon was still doing the same thing. He was still being faithful to the Lord. And that's what we need to be. Not just when certain people are around, not just when the preacher's noticing or when the preacher's watching, but all the time we're faithful. Faithful to the Lord Jesus, and then also faithful to each other. Faithful to all the saints. Do you realize that just your presence in the assembly of this church encourages the believers that are here? And this was something that not only is a truth that I know in my mind, but was a part of growing up. God allowed me to help my parents at that time, or just be with them. I'm not sure how much of a help I was, but anyway, was with them as a young man when we started a church about an hour away from the church that I grew up in. And it was small. There was only 25, 30 people there. And I don't, you know this by experience, that when you're not there, when you are not faithful, what that does to everyone else that is here, that is faithful. You play an important part. Paul heard about Philemon's faithfulness to the saints. He was dependable. He was someone that they could count on. He was someone whose strength was always there, and they knew, if I go, if I'm in the assembly tonight, Brother so-and-so, Brother Philemon is going to be there. And just his presence is going to be an encouragement to me. And so in verse 4 and 5, we see the thanksgiving because of Philemon. But then in verse 6, probably the most interesting verse in this passage, we see the request for Philemon. And this was what Paul was praying. He says, I'm praying that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, there are a lot of big words in that verse. All right, what is Paul saying? Well, let's break this down into some specifics. What are the specifics of this request? What request is Paul making? And I like this. It's not original. I don't know where I heard this the first time, but if you're reading your Bible, you don't understand a paragraph, break it down to the sentence. You don't understand a sentence, break it down to the phrases. If you don't understand the phrases, break it down to the words. So let's just break it down to the words tonight. He says, I'm praying that the communication. What does that word communication mean? It's translated, this is the only time in which this word is translated communication. It's also translated as fellowship, 12 times as fellowship, 4 times as communion, and also with the word distribution, or to distribute. We read about it in Romans 12 and verse 13, and I think I have that. No, I don't have that on the screen, but Romans 12, 13 says distributing to the necessity of saints. So that's the same idea there, distributing, communication. It literally means the imparting of ourselves. And you can kind of get that from the word communication, because when we communicate with someone, and in the sense that we understand communicated, we're imparting our thoughts, we're imparting our hearts one to another. But this idea of communication goes a little bit deeper than that. It's the imparting of ourselves and our resources that God has given us, imparting those to those that are around us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 16, we see the word this way, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Now that doesn't mean just like, don't come to church and, you know, be the kind of person who doesn't say anything. You're not communicating. No, it means much more than that. When you're around, don't forget to impart yourself, to impart the resources that God has blessed you with to those that are around you. Paul mentioned this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15, that no church communicated with him concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He commends the church at Philippi. There wasn't any church that was supporting me with resources, with funds, with money in this specific case, in order for him to do the job that he was doing. But the church at Philippi, they were faithful. They were there. They were imparting what God had given to them to Paul in order so that he could do the ministry around him. We use this word, and I think it is also a word that helps us to understand communication, and it's translated 12 times this way, the word fellowship. Communication within a church is fellowship within a church. Fellowship within. And what exactly is fellowship? I want to show you something tonight. This is something that the Lord showed me a while ago, and it really got me excited. Hopefully it can excite you as well. Hold your place here. Turn to the book of 1 John. We talk an awful lot about fellowship in church, and that's fine. But most of the time, what comes to our mind is it's a time where we eat, right? That's fellowship. Now, don't get me wrong. I hear Sunday you're going to have a fellowship, and I'm hearing and experiencing what kind of things I can expect at this fellowship. And I'm fairly excited about this fellowship and what I'll be able to experience. However, what needs to happen at this fellowship is what we read here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 3. And here's how you can check yourself. Because as a member of this New Testament body, God wants you to be involved in fellowship. How can you check yourself to make sure that you are involving yourself in fellowship? Here's how you can do it. Look in verse 3. John is writing, and you know this is the Apostle John, the one who spent time with the Lord Jesus, the one who is part of that inner circle, the one who heard the words of Jesus. He says, that which we, meaning he and some of the other apostles, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you catch what fellowship is? It is that which we have seen and heard being communicated to each other. And that which we have seen and heard, our fellowship, is with the Father. In other words, it's what we have seen in our walk with Jesus. John shared that which he had experienced in his walk with Jesus. Fellowship is when I decide to share, to impart what I have learned, what I have seen, what I've experienced in my walk with Jesus. There's a couple things that are required with that, right? You have to actually have a walk with Jesus. It has to be real. Jesus has to be teaching you some things. Otherwise, you have nothing to share. Now, we won't do it tonight, and I understand that it can be a little bit intimidating as far as, you know, doing it in front of everyone, but Jesus should be so real to you and to me that if we were to say, all right, congregation, what is Jesus teaching you this week? Right. And you know, as we would stand and share, do you know what we would be doing? Real fellowship. And you know what that, when we share, when John shared in the book of 1 John, that which he had seen and heard, some of you have read the book of 1 John. You've seen how that book has ministered to you. And when we're involved in fellowship and sharing that which we have seen and that which we have heard, others are edified, they're built up, they're encouraged. That's what fellowship is all about. And that's what this communication is all about that Paul's praying. He's praying, I'm praying that your fellowship, your communication with the brethren within would be effectual. We'll talk about that in just a second. So communication is fellowship within, but then it also involves distribution without. So just as we share, this is what Jesus is teaching me in my walk with him, we're also sharing with those that are outside these walls. We're also sharing with the lost and dying world what a relationship with Jesus means. Amen. We're also communicating to them. We're offering that fellowship. Sometimes talking to people, witnessing to people is intimidating. But understand that all a witness does is say, this is what God has done in my life. Has God done anything in your life? If you've been saved, He has. He's done something in your life. And that's all that evangelism is learning how to share that which you have seen and that which you have heard. Here's what God has done in my life.
Amen.
That's communication. So he prays that the communication, and what exactly are we communicating? We've already sort of mentioned some of this, but he mentioned specifically the communication of your faith. Your faith is your belief. It's your conviction of truth. It's that which you have chosen to stake your life on. This is where I stand. This is what I'm depending upon. This is my confidence in God. That's your faith. And Paul is praying for the display, the demonstration, the living out of Philemon's faith. He was praying that that which God had done within would come out. That which God had done on the inside would display on the outside. He puts it this way in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2:12. I thought I had it on the screen. I guess I don't have that. But Philippians 2:12, he commands the believers there to work out their own salvation with meekness and fear. And the idea there is that we take, because salvation is internal. It's not necessarily something that you know by looking at someone from the outside. It's something that God does in the heart. It's a matter of the heart. But God desires, once salvation takes place, that you work out that which God has done internally. Internally, you work it out to the outside so people can see it. So it can be displayed. Paul says, I'm praying that the fellowship, the communion, the distribution of your faith, that which you put your confidence in, that which you believed in, your conviction of truth, I'm praying that it would be, when you communicate it to others, that it would be effectual. And the word effectual means a couple of different things. The word effectual means it needs to be active. It's one thing to have a desire. I want to build up the congregation that God has put me in. I want to build the body of Christ that's there. I want to be a witness. I want to be involved in seeing others come to Christ. But it's another thing to actually make a commitment to be active, to go and do it.
Right.
To take the step of faith, to get involved, to go out, to open your mouth. It's hard. You know, personally, I am not an extrovert kind of person. It takes a little bit of extra effort for me to kind of step outside myself and to talk to other people. But you know what? That's God's will for me, so I need to do it.
Amen.
It's one thing to look at other people. Oh, they have it much easier than I do. Well, let them do the work. No. The communication of my faith, the distribution of that which God has given to me, the imparting of myself to others, needs to be active. And we can pray for each other this way as well. That we would, as fellow believers in this church, that we would be active. We'd be out there. We'd be putting feet to the desires that are in our heart.
Amen.
Effectual means to be active. It also means to be powerful. Like the Word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. It's quick. It's alive. And that's how, when we go to communicate our faith, when we go to communicate that which God has done in our hearts, it needs to be powerful and it needs to be effective. Effective. That God would bring results from it. And that's not a work that we do, but it is a work that God does through us. So those are some of the specifics of the request. That we would have a desire to impart ourselves and the work that God has done in our hearts to those that are around us, and that it would impact their lives. But you'll notice as well, not only do we see the specifics in verse 6, but we also see the means of the request. How is this going to happen? How is this going to take place? Well, he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by, here's how it's going to happen. by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. So how is this going to take place? Well, there's a couple words that are here. One is the word acknowledging. What does the word acknowledging mean? Well, it means precise or correct knowledge. It means knowledge that is coupled with, it comes with experience. So it's one thing for me to share something that I read in a book that I've not actually experienced myself. And it's something completely different when I go to share something with you that I know because I've done it. I've been there. I've experienced it. So it's not possible for us to share something and for that to be effective when we haven't experienced it ourselves.
Right.
We need to acknowledge, have that knowledge with experience. And what do we know? What do we have experience with? Well, we have experience with every good thing. Every good work that's in you.
Yes.
What is this? Every good thing or every good work that's in you. Well, it's a spiritual knowledge of that which has been wrought or that which is happening within us. And you notice it says that it's every good thing. There's more than one good thing. So think about this, believer, if you're here tonight and you're saved. What are the good things that are in us? Paul said, I know that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So in my flesh, there's nothing there of any value. But there is some good things in us. What are those good things? Well, I can tell you one of those good things is the work of salvation. The work of life, the work of hope, the work of peace with God, the work that God did within you. The wonders of salvation that are so incredible that, yes, even they're simple enough for a child to understand, but so incredible that you'll probably never completely, fully comprehend everything that took place in your life when you got saved.
Amen.
A theologian could study it their entire life and never completely understand it all. That was the good thing that's been wrought in you. But you know what else? If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
The good thing that's in you is the fruit that He's leaving behind as you respond to Him. As you submit yourself to the Spirit, He's the one that works love. He's the one that loves joy. He's the one that works all those attributes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and tempers. We don't do those things, but He does. That's right. The work that He does. And when we acknowledge that, when we have knowledge with experience of what the Spirit has wrought within, that's the means. That's the power. Without acknowledging or experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the communication of our faith is completely ineffectual. It doesn't happen. We need the Spirit of God, the fruit that He leaves behind, and that is the good things that are in you. But then we also don't want to miss. It says the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
Right.
In Christ Jesus. We understand that those good things that are in us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights. I am only complete in Him. I am incomplete in and of myself. But because of Him, I can be complete in Him. As soon as we get to thinking that our spiritual success is because of me, because of who I am, what I know,
right,
how much experience I have, the abilities that I have, as soon as it becomes about that, we become ineffective. The effectual communication, the sharing of our faith, the sharing of what God has done through us is only effective when we understand that He's the one that did it.
Amen.
We acknowledge the good thing that He put in us. So this is the request of Philemon. One more tonight. We see this in verse number 7. So we see the thanksgiving because of Philemon, the request for Philemon, but also now the ministry of Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You'll notice that the ministry that Philemon has was through his love. We have great joy and consolation in thy love. Here's Paul describing the impact that Philemon's testimony had on both Paul and Timothy. He uses the term we. Both of them were impacted by Philemon's testimony. What's fascinating here is that Philemon was not intentionally ministering to Paul and to Timothy. He was not doing the things that he was doing, thinking, you know what, Paul and Timothy, they're having a rough time. They're dealing with some difficulties in their lives. They're experiencing this, Paul specifically being under house arrest, and the frustration of waiting for his case to be heard by Caesar or in Rome. So they need to be encouraged. You know, Philemon's not doing that. It had been over 5 years, or I should say at least 5 years, since they had even seen each other. The ministry that Philemon had to Paul and to Timothy was a side effect of Philemon's love and faithfulness. You understand tonight that you have no idea how God can use your love and your faithfulness.
Amen.
When Philemon read this, he was probably shocked. How did Paul hear about me? How did Paul find out about what's going on in my life? And now he's saying that because of what he heard, because of what was told him, that God used it to minister to him? I wasn't even trying to do that. That wasn't on my to-do list. God used it anyway.
Right.
Don't underestimate the effect of your love and faithfulness in the lives of others. And you notice what the ministry of Philemon was able to do. And again, this wasn't intentional, but this is how God used him. It ministered to Paul. It ministered joy. Joy is pleasure. It's delight. It's sweetness. As Paul considered Philemon and what he heard about him and his testimony, it ministered sweetness in a time of bitterness. It ministered joy and delight in a time of darkness. And really, it's what caused, verse number 4, Paul to go to God and thank and praise God. Paul, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficult time, he goes to God in thankfulness because Philemon had ministered him joy. And he didn't even know it. He didn't even realize it. He ministered joy to the great Apostle Paul. And he also ministered consolation. The word consolation means comfort, encouragement, and even exhortation. It's the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. What does the Spirit of God do to you? You know those times when you're low, and you're going through a difficult time, and you meet with God in the Word? Perhaps that's in your daily time as you read God's Word for yourself. Perhaps that's a time when you came into the assembly and you were low and you were discouraged, and God used your Word, applied through the Holy Spirit, to just wrap His arms around you, to hold you up, to comfort you. That's what Philemon's testimony did to Paul. And you'll notice, again, you know, in the order of importance, Paul was the apostle, the great missionary. Philemon was just a lowly church member. A lowly church member can bring encouragement and even exhortation. That has the idea of a little bit of correction mixed in with the encouragement. Don't be discouraged, Paul. Don't give up, Paul. Don't be frustrated with where God has you. Keep doing the work.
Amen.
That's how God used Philemon's testimony by a lowly church member to encourage and comfort and exhort the great Apostle Paul. It ministered joy and it ministered consolation, but it also administered refreshment. Refreshment. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. The word refreshment means to give rest. Kind of like that deep breath. Rest. Philemon, because of the way he chose to go about his life, because of his faithfulness, brought rest and comfort to Paul and to the saints that were around him. Reminded of how Paul spoke of the house of Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. And he mentions that Onesiphorus had oft refreshed him and was not ashamed of his chain. Now he was there, probably visiting with Paul in prison. Not ashamed to go into the prison and to give him food, to give him water, to be there, to be encouraging to him. Remind you that Philemon wasn't there. He wasn't in Rome. He wasn't around Paul. He didn't have that opportunity. But because of how he lived in his hometown, in his little church that was in his house, because of how he chose to be faithful to the Lord, God used him to refresh Paul just as if he was there serving him bread and water. Amen. And ministering to him fellowship. Same thing was accomplished.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. And we already pointed this out last night. I'll point it out again. That it's the bowels of the saints that are refreshed. Not just the bellies. Not just the physical needs. Which are easier, really, to minister to. It's pretty straightforward. What do you need? I'll provide it. Here you go. But these are the emotional and spiritual needs. It takes more time. It takes more effort to minister to those areas of need. It's one thing to refresh the belly and the bodies of the saints. It's quite different and more difficult to refresh their inner man. But that's what Philemon did, and he didn't even know it. That's how God was using him. And let's not forget there's one more word in verse 7. And I think it's a significant word. It's just this. Brother. You know what Philemon ministered to Paul? He ministered connection. Paul just says brother. I think there's a lot that's communicated in just that one word. You're my brother. Now, that doesn't denote a physical connection as far as, you know, a family connection. I think it actually communicates a much deeper connection.
Right.
We're in this together. You have done more for me than you could ever know. Brother. So tonight, consider this evening. What is the impact of your life? How much thanksgiving is being given to God because of how you're living your life? How much glory is given to God because of you and the lives of those who you are impacting, those that you are, that have around you, that you have the opportunity to touch? What is the communication, the distribution of your faith? Are you influencing those that are around you? And not just with your opinions, not just with your pet peeves, but with the truth of God's word, with what God has wrought in your life? Are you acknowledging, experiencing that knowledge with experience? Are you experiencing the fruit of the Spirit because you're submitted to His work in your life? And are you striving to be a minister of joy, of comfort, of refreshment, of connection to those lives that are around you? These are the impacts of the gospel in real life.
Amen.
This is what happens when someone like Philemon says, this is how I'm going to live my life. I want to be faithful. I want to be used of God. and because of how he chose to follow God, just within the confines of his little church and his home, because of how he chose to live, he impacted people thousands of miles away. And I think God wants to do the same work through you, through me, impacting and affecting people that you won't even know until you cross the threshold of heaven and you learn how God used you to bring glory to himself. A real transformed life because of the impact of the gospel in real life. This is how God wants to use you if you will give yourself to him. Let's close in prayer tonight. Thank you, Lord, for I trust the vision that you have given to us tonight.
Yes.
The vision of being used by you beyond just the four walls of this building, beyond just the homes that we live in, that we'd be able to minister joy and comfort and refreshment, not just in a physical sense, although that is part of it, but much deeper than that in a spiritual sense. I pray for this church, the members of this church, that the communication, the distribution, the fellowship of their faith would be effectual because they are experiencing a walk with you.
Amen.
And I pray that you'd use them to edify, to build up, to encourage each other in their assembly, in this church, and also use them to share their faith with the community that's around them. Would you encourage our hearts and would you challenge our hearts tonight? Lord, use this message however you see fit. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.